The entertainment lounge is now open for refreshments. Please drink in moderation and have a wonderful evening.
Wow. High-grade material. Cave is riddled with gold.
Hurry up, dickhead. Get this stuff secured so I can go get drunk.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I'm Scott.
And I'm Joe, and you owe me a shilling.
I owe you a shilling? I think you owe me a shilling.
Okay, well, let's call it a draw, because we both wanted to watch these movies, even though it was my idea.
So yeah, it was your idea.
I owe you a shilling.
Thank you.
But...
Well, today, like Joe was just hinting at, just talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because on the show, we think that you need to know what the worst movie is to truly review all movies. And what better movie to do that with than the Leprechaun series? Because we are doing in this month the Leprechaun films, and here we are in the second week, and since we skipped one and two, we're going straight for three and four.
And I think today, we're like purposely picking the crappiest of the crap.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the fun? Well, the first thing that I think we should point out is last week, we should actually do, we should have done a recap. Last time on Talking Trash.
Previously on Talking Trash. Yeah.
Like that lost sound. Yeah, last week we watched part three, and we both had never seen it.
Yep.
Now, this one has... This is one of those movies that I know we have seen, but could not remember a thing about it, except for maybe two scenes for me.
Okay, so you have seen this one?
Yeah, we actually have a friend who got married, and on the night of the wedding, we all had, like, cabins around this area, and I remember both of us and another friend all sat on a couch, like, a little, like, hungover, you know, after a long night of partying, and this was on, and we all just sat there and blanked out on it and watched it, and we were like, I cannot believe this is a thing.
I totally remember this event, but I don't remember that it was that movie.
Oh, yeah, because we were laughing so hard, but I think it's because we were trashed. And this is Talking Trash. So, I mean, it connects.
Should be called Talking Trashed, but then, you know, we do this very often, and I, you know.
We can't hang anymore. We're old suckers now.
I'm suffering from a hangover right now. Oh, ridiculous.
Yeah, what a great way to cap the night off.
I know. Dang.
Did you think this would have sobered you up?
You know, I think it did, you know, because there was very little funny dialogue in this one.
I would say, though, you have to admit, this is the perfect drunk party movie.
I guess it is to an extent. I mean...
Because you don't want to hear the movie.
No.
You kind of want to pick it apart as you're watching it and laugh at it. Yeah.
But then again, it wasn't Warwick Davis whose dialogue... was like, you know, something to marvel at this time. It was the sergeant. He was so over the top in this.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And I feel like we're on four now. This is in space. Leprechaun
in
space.
We gotta talk about that real quick. Yeah, because I don't know if we already said it. We're on part four, Leprechaun 4 in space. And this is the second... You know, a lot of people kind of assume that there's like a long-running joke with horror icons going to space. Mm-hmm. But this is actually the second time I think it ever happened. The first time is Hellraiser. And again, it's like number four. Hellraiser Bloodlines, he's in space. and some parts of it. It goes throughout time. Well, so that's different.
I don't know. It makes more sense for the Cenobites to be in space.
Because it doesn't matter. They're not actually in space. It's like a fold in time. But it doesn't really matter. But this is the first time a character fully went to space as like a joke. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, this was followed up by Jason X.
Jason X is so much fun.
Yeah, Jason X is a lot of fun. A lot of people want to credit the Critters franchise. A part four takes place in space. But the Critters franchise is all about space. The Krites come from space. Mm-hmm. And in part one, they're in space. And then they crash land on the planet. So you can't really count four. You know what I mean? Although, I'm a little mad that other characters have not gone to space. Like Freddy. You know, like, there's a couple characters I'm like, they should have at this point.
Freddy
Chucky.
Is...
Chucky.
Yeah. Oh, well...
The Chucky TV show should just jump in time and he's in space.
I think that would be funny.
I would love it. I would love it.
In zero gravity, just floating around?
Yeah. Because this movie makes me appreciate Jason X even more.
It really does. But we appreciate Jason X anyway because it's just so... It's really just over-the-top campy fun.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Did you see what I said? I said campy.
Oh, like because Camp Crystal Lake. Camp
Crystal Lake. That's what I got for you.
Right I now. Love that you had to point it out that you said it, and you were like, you know what? Wasn't intentional, but I gotta say this.
I don't even like myself anymore.
All right. So, yeah, the straight-to-video Leprechaun franchise. I mean, all these movies... Only one and two, I think, were in the movie theater. Everything else was straight to video. We were talking about three, which is in Vegas, was one of the big sellers the year it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine. I would think that this would be up there. Now, I had to question to you. I have to ask you this. This one came out in 1997. How much money do you think this thing cost after watching it tonight?
Oh, well, I believe that this movie cost about... $15 million to make. Those state-of-the-art special effects.
The reason I want to play this game with you all the time is how far off all the time that you are. Your guesses are so insanely out of control. You usually like guess. I think you once said $100 million for like a cheap movie, and I was dying laughing because I'm know. that's Fast and the Furious movie.
I'm aiming low because. You know, I always get it wrong anyway. But
I know, I love it. That guess is insane. If this cost if you watched this movie and thought $15 million went into this,
I mean, but those special effects.
What special effect in this movie?
Yeah,
I'm so confused. Where are we? What happened? My mind just blew up.
I mean, there's a robotic man. There's a scene where they had to make something look bigger than it was. There's a set piece that looks kind of like a watermelon stand.
You have a brother-in-law and you have a husband who loves creating like Halloween costumes out of junk mm-hmm. and making good stuff. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, boost myself up here, but decent enough stuff, and I don't spend $1 million.
Well, I had to pay all these people. I don't know.
Did they get paid though?
Okay, $3 million.
Okay, I mean, no, I was hoping you were gonna say like 500,000 because I think it looks like garbage. This film,
it does look bad.
It costs $1.6 million, and I just can't imagine that.
$1.6 million. Like, I would feel like that's Warwick Davis's freaking salary.
No way.
I mean, if I were him, I'd be like, fuck these movies. I need more money.
I know. I hope he got something. But back in 97, people weren't making $1 million a movie.
That's true.
In the 2000s, the late 2000s, people were getting a high gross.
Yeah. And, well, this is released right to DVD.
VHS back in 97, yeah, so...
Yeah, or, yeah, 97s, yeah, okay. Oh, boy.
Yeah, $1.6 million, and I would say that looking at this movie, it looks like garbage. I mean, we were joking around that they have, like, those storage produce bins, and that's they're like, you know what, put those all against the wall, and we'll say it's a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this movie
looks. Like, the cargo bay was just clearly... Yeah. Pieces of plastic. It was really cheap.
Everything's like basically like just patterns stuck to the wall as like, oh, it's metal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just
It was very cheesy. So I don't know where I came up with that $15 million.
But, I read some crazy trivia that is there's a shot in this movie. I could not find it looking during this movie that they actually painted 2 Millennium Falcon toys against the wall as a part of the set.
No, they did not.
I couldn't find it anywhere.
I was looking in the background a lot too because I was like, all right, let me see what hot trash this set is made out of.
Yeah, it's very easy to stare at things. And another funny thing about this movie too is the director who also directed part 3, he came back because the third one was such a success. And Warwick, who plays the leprechaun, he loved that director because he said, oh, he can, he's making the humor come out of it. He's making this movie better than it was. Like, he's bringing something new to it. And he also can stretch out a buck, is what he said. Mm-hmm. And they brought him back to do it again. And I think this whole experience was a kind of a disaster for them because there was, like, a lot of things forced on them. And then they also kept pulling out budget. When he saw the CG that was used in this movie, he was appalled. Because apparently, he said, this was PlayStation 2 era. And the graphics look exactly like it.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
yeah.
This is straight from a video game, ripped out. It's like a cheap video game.
Yep.
And he's right. The special effects are atrocious. They all.
It does.
He said what it was those are the first passes. They gave them little mock-ups, and then he didn't realize that was all they were going to do. He was expecting them to do a new pass over and make it look a little better. Like, usually you could put more into it as you go along, you know. Mm-hmm. You start off with a rough draft, and he said they used the rough draft as the final product. So he's like, oh, it was embarrassing when I saw what they did.
I mean, you know, it sucks to be part of something like this. Like, whether it's a good movie or a bad movie, you put your, you know, time and energy into it, and then at the end, you're so disappointed with your final product that you just are so like, I don't even want to deal with this. That's got to be really tough. Like, I couldn't. It's like me when I make my silly accessories. You know, I have this vision in my head of what I want to do, but it never works out right for me. And then it's disappointing, you know? Really disappointing. And this is just me making stupid earrings. I can't imagine how bad it is for, like, a film director, you know?
It's like anybody who wants to create anything or thinks, you know, they take it serious, they love it. And you wish that it would be, like, a bigger audience. I think, like, this show. I love doing this show. And so you want it to be growing. You want it to be bigger. Yeah, and you also don't want someone to come in and tell you, I want this and I want that. Which is, I think, in any artist or anybody who creates anything, always has people to say, oh, I think you should do this. I think you should add this.
Yeah.
Why don't you ever do this? Why don't you ever do that? Well, this is my thing. You know, this is what I want to do. You know, this is my creation. So don't come and mess with it.
Exactly.
This is an odd fact about this film, getting back into the movie. But an odd fact about this movie is he actually had TriStar, who was the producer of the company that was releasing the film. They came and said, add nudity. Now, that's odd that the director was like, I don't need to add nudity. Especially in the third one, when he had such a nude scene in the movie, you think that it would be odd to force it on him. But so he had to write into the script, like, how do we get someone naked? And that's kind of odd because this is one of those movies that just leads to sex scenes. And
yes, but he didn't even do it right. It was so weird.
He had to write it in. He said he had to write it in last minute. Afterward, they were doing the movie. They had to go and put a whole scene in there. And that's why this is a whole weird scene where one of the characters flashes her boobs at them for no reason.
Yeah, but here, okay, so this is not a horror movie, you guys. It's not a horror movie at all.
This is not a horror movie.
He's a killer. Okay, he's a killer leprechaun. But did you notice that they never, ever call him a
leprechaun in this film? Yeah.
It's always monster or little shit or little bastard or whatever they're saying. They don't ever call him that. It's so weird.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, there is no resemblance to the first 3 films at all. This one acts like it's a whole new thing. And I know why they did it, because the third one, it worked with the parody, but then lost by just making a full joke. They kind of lost all of the things that were made fun about the third one.
Yeah, can we just talk about this? Because I have so many things I want to say.
You want to jump in the plot now? Let's just talk about the plot.
It's
not really hard to talk about. It's a quick one. Yeah.
It's 2 seconds long. But
I joked around. It is 2096 in this movie. That's what year it's supposed to be.
Oh, my goodness.
And we start off right away with, I believe, the Marines. We get our aliens opening.
Yes.
Where we get to see our terrible ship flying, and then we get to see the Marines in it. And it's all, like, full cheap parody. We have an actor who is the sergeant. I believe his name in the credits, anyways, is Metalhead, because he has half his head as a metal plate. Now, this actor actually was supposed to be the drill sergeant in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket.
Oh.
And was replaced by the on-set actual Marine, who is telling them, the supervisor, which is now famously...
Oh, Arlie Ermey.
Kubrick, at the last second, said, no, I want him to take it. And he wasn't an actor. He was just being on set as the, teaching them as a supervisor. So they said, no, step in and do it. And he let him do all of his own lines in that movie, replacing this actor.
Mm-hmm.
So this actor, they asked him to be in this movie to do that. So he's basically playing the character he would have played in that.
Got it. Okay.
The weird drill sergeant.
Got it. His name is Tim Kulseri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a great choice, though, that Kubrick made, because Ermey, he was perfect in that role. Mm-hmm. And it's iconic. So what amazing, happenstance. But this guy, watching him in this movie, though, he is straight batshit crazy in this movie.
Oh, my God.
And what's funny is the levels that the character keeps going. But, yeah, he's the drill sergeant. He comes in. He's doing the whole, everybody wants to rip off Alien. And everybody wants to rip off Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, how does Aliens look so good? I don't know what the budget is. How many years prior?
Well, it's 1986.
I know, exactly.
So, yeah.
We're talking almost 11 years prior to this movie.
Yeah.
And it looks incredible. And this movie why not? Why use CG in the first place? Why not do models? There's a scene in this movie where they used little models. So it's like, you guys could have made a fake spaceship.
Well, they probably didn't have enough money to do all of that,
How expensive could that be? The Star Trek television show was doing that.
Yes, it was in 1987.
They were just hanging it on a string on a black screen with dots pointed into it and a light put behind it for stars. I mean, it's like,
genius. I mean, you're comparing a Gene Roddenberry, Star Trek. Star Trek is huge.
But made on a low, no-budget production in the 60s.
Yes, that is true. But Star Trek already had an establishment. They were already a whole entity.
Well, not prior to the show.
I was almost going to say Enterprise, but I stopped myself.
but the original show.
Yeah. Oh, the original 60s. Shows. They didn't
have the first episode, the shit looks great.
Yeah.
It looks better than this.
Yes.
That's why I'm like shocked. Like, you didn't have a prop master just makes a fake ship. Like, I would have rather had that.
Yeah, for sure.
Again, practical versus, CG. I don't understand a lot of these people who want to not do practical effects, But yeah, we have our little setup, though. We have all of our characters meet, right?
Yeah, and then this drill sergeant or whatever, he's the leader, which I read that, okay, it's funny, I never really picked up on this stupid thing, but they call him Sarge in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They're Marines.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that, okay. Too.
Whatever. So it doesn't matter. It just goes along with all the stupid things. But he's got, like, a metal plate on his head.
Yeah.
And he looks like Gary Oldman.
Zorg in a Fifth Element?
Yeah. He's got amazing. A metal plate on his head. But
what I love is the metal plate isn't like metal. No. It's like a silver flashy plate.
It is.
It's hysterical. It's like flashy silver.
Yeah. It's like costume jewelry.
Yes.
If like it was a plate.
Yeah. And he has weird makeup. Do you want to talk about his makeup?
Yes,
because
okay.
It's very strange.
It's very caked on. And it's very pale. Like, they just took that god-awful, like, creamy, blotchy, like, beige makeup and just plastered it on his face.
He kind of looks like a zombie.
He does.
It's very strange.
He does. I don't like the way they made him look at all. It's so bizarre.
I've seen worse. You ever been to Detroit?
But we get to meet our cast of, you know, cast of ridiculous Marines that are completely cliche. I mean, it's like whenever you watch a bad movie and you see, like, you know, the smart ass one. But I will say, my guy, Miguel Nunez Jr., who is Spider in Return of the Living Dead.
A horror legend. Let's just say that. Yeah, the guy's in everything.
He's in everything. He's amazing. And when I saw him on the screen, I was like, okay, thank you for helping me along. Because his presence is needed.
Yeah.
Even if he, you know, he does those asshole one-liners, like,
it's fantastic,
you know, it's still there, and I feel it, and I'm happy about it.
Agreed.
But yeah, we get we get to meet all these guys. They're all just a bunch of
one female soldier in the whole bunch.
One female soldier, and she's very, very attractive.
Yes.
Beautiful.
She might actually have been the one for Baywatch, or was it the other one?
No, it was the one who played the princess.
All right.
But yeah, so you get the one woman, and then we get introduced right off the bat to the female lead, basically, who is Tina. She is the doctor on the ship. Now, we don't really know. She tried to explain it, what she's a doctor of, but like...
Oh, biology. She explains it in the worst way possible.
Yes, but she also says she's, like, essential. They say that she's essential. So I'm like, okay.
Well, I'll try to explain it a little bit if you want.
Yeah, she's on board to, I guess, find mutagens for the. I don't even know.
That's a little weird. That only happens later on. Well, first I should say the mission is Sarge, take it away.
We are orbiting the planet of Ithacon. In a few minutes, we'll board the shuttlecraft and proceed to target area Delta. Our mission is search and destroy. I repeat, search and destroy. We've been chasing this alien son of a bitch long enough. In the past 6 months, he has disrupted the galactic mining operation to a tune of $500 million. The words come down from above. Kill the bastard. Now, what is our motto?
Semper Fi, do or die, kill, kill, kill.
I can't.
Yeah. Semper Fi, do or die, kill, kill, kill.
Good.
So the biologist who is sent in, well, she tells them that I'm supposed to go with you on this mission so I can collect samples of alien life forms that we find.
What the hell are you doing here, lady? You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is for authorized personnel only.
I'm looking for Sergeant Hooker.
Well, you found him. I'm busy. What the fuck do you want?
I'm Dr. Reeves.
Great! Dr. Reeves is here!
Come on, guys. I've been assigned to your group.
What the hell for?
I'm to collect samples of any alien life forms and report them back to Dr. Mittenhand.
Yes, okay. Mutagens. So we can, that's where I got it. Well, not really.
No, not really. The mutagen stuff comes in later on. And I don't even know why we say mutagens. Are we thinking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something like that?
Well, when you meet the, you know, Dr. X or
something,
whatever.
Something happens accidentally later on. Well, she just says that. And then he, of course, says, well, I don't, you know, you're not in charge. I'm in charge. And she's like, no, I work for the person paying you. And that's when we get to see our Max Headroom Uncle Fester crossover.
Oh, my God.
A head on a television screen who is a cross between, was it Brain Guy from Mystery Science Theater, Uncle Fester, and
Adolf Hitler?
I will say this guy is in the right movie.
He's like a dictator, almost.
I think he's funny. I think he's going for it. I think him and Nunez are like the best parts.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah, this is a weird one, yeah.
It's very weird.
He comes in. He is insane. He is so over the top. It's so crazy. And he tells them, no, this is what has to happen. She's going with you. She's collecting samples from the alien planet. And they have to do it. But this is where we get our meet cute between one of the soldiers who the director hired because he thought he looked like Sylvester Stallone.
He does.
He wanted him to actually do an impression of Sylvester Stallone in the movie. And he's like, oh, I want you to do it a whole movie. And then he's like, you know what? Last minute, let's not do it because I'm afraid of a lawsuit.
Yeah, he should have been afraid, because I can totally see that.
Yeah, everybody kind of looks like somebody, and I think he hired a lot of these people because they kind of remind you of other people from other famous sci-fi movies mm-hmm. or action films, and you can kind of see why he maybe casted everybody as a joke. Gonna meet cute, because they're gonna knock heads the whole movie. They're gonna have no absolute chemistry whatsoever, but it's destined to happen regardless, because movie says so.
Mm-hmm.
There is no connection between these two characters except for the fact that they both want to have sex with each other.
Yeah, pretty
just
much.
Because of attraction of some sort.
Yeah, and whatever, that's it. And that's fine. But anyway, when I saw him, I was like, yeah, he just looks like that every soap opera actor you've ever seen.
Yeah, the guy who walks in, who's like the guy the girl's cheating with, or yeah. the instructor, the aerobics instructor, a guy that's like the big buff muscle, you know, guy.
Yeah, that
he's
guy.
He's kind of that guy, and you can see yeah. him in every role in that role.
But, every yeah, just like every yeah. yeah, he's like every man. He's but
everybody else is kind of
it's like whatever.
Everybody else has their little jokes, their little like little bits that you know is going to lead up to their deaths.
Yeah,
and that's about it. It's,
they don't let you get to know any of them, because
no. right when they silly get names.
Yeah, right when they get into the cave, it's not good. But yeah. now we
cut, that's when we cut to that. Yeah,
we cut to okay, the leprechaun is in this cave, and he has a beautiful woman tied up against the rocks, against the wall or whatever, and apparently she's the princess of Nairobi.
I thought you were gonna say Narnia. Because I would be okay with that.
Listen up! We are orbiting the planet of Ithacon!
Netogimia.
Zarinia.
Oh, Zarinia. Well, I don't know where I got the N's.
No, that's actually the princess's name. Zarinia is this princess's name.
No, I know it starts with an N. It has to. But anyway, so she is the princess of something.
Orbiting the planet of Ithacon!
And he's... The leprechaun has kidnapped her.
Yeah, this is an odd plot line that doesn't make a lick of sense.
And so, okay. So, first of all, can we just talk about the ending of the last movie?
Okay, yeah.
I have to talk about this, because...
Previously on Leprechaun 3.
He had an amulet, okay? It was very essential to his life.
And so was his pot of gold.
Yes, and when he lost one shilling, he lost his whole mind and needed to get that shilling back. Now, in this movie, there is no pot of gold involved. There's no mention of any shilling. There's no mention of any amulet at all. And
yeah, let's
he's in space.
Yeah, the rules here are so simple, right? And it should be a simple plot. He has a pot of gold. If you take a leprechaun's gold, you can wish on it. You have to get your wish.
Right.
The leprechaun is mad. He doesn't want anybody to have his gold. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an amulet that will ward off a leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
And two leprechauns can't be in the same room or something like that. Well, some other crap. That's what the third one wanted to create. But now we have... You can throw all that out, because they don't give a shit in this one. And also, the leprechaun talks and rhymes. No longer in this movie.
Warwick Davis's dialogue in this was so dull.
Yeah.
And in the last one... He was great. He was, you know, his dialogue was pretty funny. And he was having the time of his life, you know, playing the leprechaun. In this, he was just trying to get through this movie as best he could. And I felt so bad for him. I think he was just pretty much over it at this point, because, I mean,
I think he was having a good time.
You think so? Because he didn't have any good dialogue. There was nothing for him.
He gets
him
to laugh at everybody and do, like, little jokes and punch people. And he's having fun. I think he's having fun.
All right. Well, in the last movie, he also
gets to do characters, right?
Yeah, he gets to do characters. All right, so maybe he's having a little bit of fun. But in the last one, it seemed like he was just having such, like, a great time with the rhyming and the, you know, just everything he did. But in this one, he doesn't have any reason. Like, he's automatically in space, okay? Like, he burned up in the last movie.
Yeah, that was at the end of the movie. They torched his gold and it set him on fire.
Yeah,
when
so
they
that
torched
was
his gold. But
it.
There was one shilling left, which would make you think that maybe there's a connection to him still being alive.
Okay.
But here, We don't have that.
They just toss all of it out the window. They don't even explain how he's in space.
To be fair, we haven't seen the next two yet. Maybe this is because this takes place in the future. The last movie in the series will connect to that last moment. I have no clue. I don't think it will, but it'd be funny as shit. It'd be funny if at the end they send him to space somehow.
Oh my god. They just did not give a crap on this one. So he's got this princess tied up, and the Marines are going into this cave to find what they need to find.
Yeah, unknowing of this all happening.
They stumble upon him, and he's trying to... Okay, his whole plan right now, the leprechaun, is to get the princess to marry him so he can become the king of Nariobia or something.
The planet of Ithacon!
And he wants to be the king. Now, mind you, this was 5 seconds after seeing the scene. I looked at you and I was like, okay, first of all, he can literally do anything that he wants to do. He can make things appear, disappear. He can change everybody's appearance. He can do anything he wants. Why does he need to marry a princess to become the king of whatever?
So they're saying that his obsession with money and power is all growing. So he's like, I have to get all powerful. So I want to take over a planet as its ruler.
Okay, but he's like,
I'll kill your father and I'll marry the princess. This way but then you could just wish.
Right. He can make anything happen.
He can make people.
So what is the reasoning for him to kidnap this princess and go through all of this?
Yeah.
Is the reason?
I mean, it is the loosest plot. And it doesn't make any sense. And as it goes along, he keeps changing the plot.
He just does.
Keeps randomly saying things to change it all.
It's just bonkers. It's bonkers.
Yeah. So she at first she's like shrieking. He comes in a smoking jacket, like a whole suit. He makes a whole dining room table with food for her. Yeah. And then he says, look, I'll give you all the money in the world, you know, in the universe. And she's like, okay, I'm in.
So she's willing to kill her father and marry this monster so that he could be the king of whatever planet she's on.
Your wife. Your wife? How dare you? Do you know who I am? I am the daughter of a king.
And you will one day be a queen. And it is your royal blood, madame, that will make me a king.
What? You? A king?
Laugh if you like me, darling, but I'll have me way. I'm a man amongst men, and it's tired I am of being treated like a dog. From now on, the rest of this miserable universe will bow and scrape before me. And if they don't... off with their heads!
And that's okay?
That's
it. But you could literally, have that... without going through all of this.
Oh, and I have to point out, too, I don't know why he specifically wants this person's planet, but he said that the king doesn't have money anymore because he gave it to everybody. Nobody lives in poverty on their planet. Everybody is in peace.
Right.
And that's why she's like, you know what? I'm sick of living like a peasant. I want to rule, and I want them to bow to me. And he's like, yeah, you and me will make this happen. I don't know why he specifically wants that planet. You think he'd go back to Earth and be like, hey, that's a planet that screwed me over, killed me a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and take them down. But he's not. He's moved on. He's got bigger fish to fry in the universe, apparently. I have no idea. But you know what's really funny? The cave that they're in, it looks like a duty cave. It's like paper mache monstrosity all over the place. It looks like shit. You said it looks like old Trek. And I'm like, you know what? Old Trek still looks better than this.
It's true. It looked like a paper mache nightmare.
Nothing here looks real.
They needed 700 cans of gold spray paint to create this look.
And it doesn't even look great. It looks brown.
Yeah.
Everything looks brown because later on we find out that this cave is actually gold.
Yeah.
This is a gold planet or gold mountain that they're inside of. I have no idea where they are. If this is another planet, if this is her planet, I don't know.
It's definitely not her planet.
I don't know.
Because they name her planet. They would have said, oh, here on this planet, I am the queen or whatever, you know, princess.
I wish it would have done that. I wish it would have had an intro. 2096, her planet.
Yeah, so the Marines stumble upon him.
Oh, they should have done the scrolling Star Wars text. Wouldn't that have been funny if they had the Star Wars text and then they had, like, they did, like, Mel Brooks did in Spaceballs?
Yes.
They had it, like, with the, you know, like, the whole thing?
Yeah, that would have been
funny. That would have actually been really fun. They should have went hardcore. And by the way, do you know why this movie even occurred? Why it's in space?
No. Really?
The reason that this movie even happened was because they were like, well, 3 was a success. We're going to make another one. And the guy was mocking up a poster to mock the big movie that had just come out, which was Apollo 13. And he's like, he thought it would be really funny to take the Apollo 13 poster, and then instead of Tom Hanks's face, he was going to put the leprechaun. And the director saw it and said, scrap everything. We're going to do a space movie using that poster.
Oh my gosh.
That's why this happened.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like they did it. I mean, I would say, I haven't looked into it enough to say I know how long production went. But it feels like a week.
Oh, they probably filmed this.
This is the fastest trash rush out ever. Yeah. I would think. Yeah, these Marines go to this planet and they don't know the Space Marines. They go to the planet, they don't know what they're about to get into. And watching them on this shit set with a green screen background of some sort, like with just, I don't even know if it was green screen at 97, but it is terrible. We just looked at each other and said, holy shit.
Yeah, like, it was bad.
And if the drill sergeant says, well, you know what? Doesn't look that bad. Have you ever been to Detroit?
Oink, oink, oink. Oh, man.
They go in, unbeknownst to them, they start, one of the guys goes in the cave and finds all the gold laying out, and he's, of course, his natural instinct is to grab it all and stuff it in his shirt, which makes the leprechaun appear behind him with a green lightsaber.
Yes.
I guess this is Davis's first time with a lightsaber since he's been in all Star Wars. You know, he's acted in all of it. I guess they finally said, you know what? This is your time to shine with a green lightsaber, a leprechaun lightsaber.
But, like, where did that even come from?
He can do anything he wants, so he cuts this guy in half.
I'm saying, like, he cuts the guy in half, and so then they all start filing in, all the Marines. They have a gunfight.
The leprechaun makes a machine gun, and he shoots at them.
Yep, and then they throw a grenade, and the princess is in the way. So the leprechaun jumps on the grenade, and so he blows up, right?
He sacrifices himself for her.
I mean, yeah, because he knows that he can't die.
Don't you wish that the princess's name was Goldie, so he can say, Me Goldie. He should have said that, Me Gold.
Me Goldie.
Or maybe her name was Shilling.
Oh, God, Jesus. But so he blows up, his pieces are all over the place. And
When you say that, by the way, his head is underground and they just buried him.
I felt so bad for him.
And one of the soldiers, the one who threw the grenade, and there's so much to talk about right here. He decides to piss on the body because he says, I'm going to mark my territory. I got the kill. So he pees. And of course, the leprechaun's magic flies up his pee.
Yep.
Right inside his pee hole, and now the guy's got leprechaun gonorrhea. Right, and then
or as Miguel Nunez said, "Oh,
the clap!
You got the clap!"
Yeah, he flies right up on him, and he's like, "Oh, that's normal," and he goes along with his business.
Hey, wait a minute, Sarge! It was my kill. Get to add the final touch. Pure Rocky Mountain spring water. Death from above. Let it ring! Oh, shit!
Oh, way to go, KO. I'd give you a round of applause, but I see you already got the clap.
That's not funny.
Which is really crazy, too, that he can do this, because the leprechaun shows that he's still the head on the floor, and he laughs.
Yeah.
So what flew up the guy is not his, not him.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense. What was really crazy is the grenade still some reason blew up the princess's hand.
Yeah.
And her hand was perfectly severed.
It was so weird. Okay, yeah. It was like it was cut off. But I don't understand this plot. It's stupid. And it makes, like, no sense, this plot point. Because they show us that her hand got severed and that they were trying to reattach it and they couldn't do so. But, however, they show her later on the table with the hand had, you know, regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
So she has regenerated.
Yeah, apparently her species has a blood that can regenerate.
Yeah.
And so they find this out, which is really odd, because mm-hmm. one of the characters mentions how they know about this planet, and they've had problems with treaties with this planet from Earth. And so they know about this planet, but they don't know about their incredible healing ability.
Yeah, which would have, this whole plot with her would have made some sense if they somehow applied it to the leprechaun, because he just keeps coming back. Like, I don't understand. How did you get rid of the amulet, number one? That whole entire thing, it was like a major thing of like why he existed or how he could exist. And the shillings and all that stuff. Why would you get rid of that?
I guess you're right, because even the leprechaun doesn't seem to know about her healing ability.
No.
Because he sacrificed himself on the grenade.
Yeah. So it...
You're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the more you talk about this movie, the more it falls apart. It's like, it's when we say flimsy, this shit was made on a paper towel. I mean, it's like,
yeah. And, all right, let's move along. So, all right. So they take the princess back to the ship, and you know, they're trying to figure out what her deal is. And there's this scientist who is the wormiest motherfucker I've ever seen. It's just like, just picture like the skinniest, wormiest. Like, just pervert you can possibly put on screen. This is that guy.
He has a great voice. I had to look into this actor because I thought he's got to do cartoon voices.
Does he?
He doesn't, but it turns out he has no photo on IMDb at all, but he has been in like 6 movies I've seen, which is crazy. And a lot of like parts, like a little like bit parts or jokey comedy parts. And I thought that was really interesting, but he does have a really distinct voice. I think he's kind of funny. But he is a worm. It's the joke.
Yeah, it's disgusting. So anyway, so we meet this guy, and he automatically starts trying to be rapey with the unconscious princess on the table.
He also suggests that the soldier, says like basically gets up on him, and he's like, oh, "If you don't listen to her commands, I'm gonna be mad. You know,
What did he say? I'm going to punish you or something like that?
And he goes, I hope so.
Something like that. He
said, don't make promises.
Oh, he poked him in the chest with his finger and said, you know, get your job done or whatever. And he says, hey, don't put your hands on me unless you mean it.
That's right.
That's
so what he said. So he's flirty with everything.
And I'm like, wait a minute.
You heard the Lady Herald. Move your ass.
Hey, don't touch me unless you mean it, cowboy.
So yeah, whatever. He's just the horniest little shit on the ship.
Yeah, that's
there's always
when
one.
Yeah, oh, of course. And that's when the princess's hand regrows, and him and the head scientist, because all you see is a head on a monitor. His name is like Manning or something like that.
Bullshit! Bullshit! Sticks, sir. Yes, sir. Give me Dr. Mittenhand now.
Is watching the whole time, and he's like, yes, we had discovered regeneration properties from the species. Not really discovered, you're just stealing it from them by using their DNA, which I don't even know. They take an idea is that they scrape off a part of his DNA and they put it into her blood, and it grows back one finger. I don't know why the thing would stop at, you would think it would just regrow a person.
Yes. Right?
And like just a random person. It wouldn't particularly just make one body part. It's not like the DNA is like, oh, this is finger DNA.
Right.
You know, it's DNA of like an individual, right?
Yeah.
It makes a perfect finger.
It's amazing to me though, how lucky. It's like, oh, this is like just the luckiest coincidence of all time, because they went down there for one reason and they find this woman who has healing or regenerative properties, and he happens to be what he is. It was just, come on, like how on the nose can you get?
And we have to point this out too, this is hysterical, but the planet's made of gold, and they show that they have gotten chunks of the planet. And they're like, oh, there's a whole chunk of gold here. And they have a shrinking ray, so they can shrink it down.
Mm-hmm.
And they can regrow it at any time, like my TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they shrink it down. And the guy's like, oh, wow, it's all gold, huh? Okay, we're going to go down and mine. And then they have to make like a whole business transaction where they're going to get some of the money that they find. And you know it's 97 because his big number, the drill sergeant guy, he's like, I want $57 million. And he's like, it's an entire planet full of gold.
Yeah.
Like, that's like one chunk.
Yes. Now all these Marines work for this, you know, head guy or whatever.
I think it's Manning.
Dr. Manning or whatever. And
report them back to Dr. Mittenham.
Their contract with him is up at midnight that night, and then they're going to be free agents. So they can literally just get on their shuttle and dip, you know? They don't have to stay on the
Which
ship.
Which is so weird, because the guy's saying, I'll give you bonus and I'll pay you more.
Right.
And they're like, free agents. Yeah, the whole point of a free agency is to say yes for the next job. And mm-hmm. this guy's offering you another job.
Yeah.
Why would you? And why is he mad about it? I'm like, I would, of course.
Yeah.
And then that guy Manning, he basically goes, oh, I'll give you this much more. And they're all like, hell yeah. All the other, why is this even a question?
Right.
Yeah, it's so fun. It's, well, there's a planet of gold.
The whole like reasoning behind this plot, it's like just, it's too convoluted and ridiculous for a movie like this. You know, it's like, we don't need all this. This is stupid. All you need to know is that the guy who peed on him when he was blown up, he literally comes back to life and pops out of the guy's penis.
Yeah, while a girl, him and the other, the Marine, who's a woman, they're about to have sex. The leprechaun pops out of his penis at her.
Oh, my God, what is this?
Let that be a lesson to you, lad. Always wear a prophylactic.
Which is, okay, that's... He comes out of this guy's body. So she goes running and screaming to the other Marines. Oh my God, you know, he's here. He's alive. He's on board the ship. Blah, 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 blah. So now they have a mission to destroy him. This is just a cat and mouse movie. Just back and forth, back and forth.
Until he takes out each individual.
Until he takes them all out. But the best part is we see what Dr. Manning actually looks like.
I wouldn't argue with Dr. Mittenham. Ever.
Yes.
He is just like Captain Pike in the first episode of Star Trek,
Deep reference,
where he's in a like robotic shell or...
His entire body is a robot, except for his head, his shoulders, and one arm.
Yes, and he's in like a base, like a metal base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a movable cart.
Movable, yes. And so we realize that, oh, they found out that this woman has regenerative properties, and they're going to use her blood to try and obviously regenerate him. So the leprechaun gets wind of all this stuff, and he mixes some concoction of her blood, a spider.
Yeah, this I don't get this
scorpion.
Part.
In a blender, okay, and then injects it into Dr. Manning. Okay, what is the reasoning to do this? You can do anything you want to him.
Well,
why are you doing this?
There's like a whole setup to that, but yeah, the princess is like, he's torturing me. I want to kill him for me.
Yeah.
And the leprechaun's like, I got something even better. Let's torture him really good. So he makes like he mutates this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like an end thing in the movie. Yeah, there's like a lot of killing before that. And I will say that a couple of the good ones, one of the good ones is he throws a pan. For some reason, the spaceship has a pie pan or like a pizza pan. And he like flings it at a guy and it squashes his face and makes his face a squished pie.
Yeah, the pervy scientist guy.
It is the best looking prosthetic on the whole movie.
It was the best special effect that they had.
Movie. It's a squished face. It's like the guy's entire squished face. It looks pretty decent, and I thought that was one of the killer moments. But that's the thing that you would think that he would have a funny ass comeback every kill.
But you know, he doesn't.
One part he sings Danny Boy. To one of the guys, these are things that you were like, this
his
should be much
name
funnier.
Is Danny, yes,
yeah. It's and how he knows about each soldier. It's so odd. It's very questionable and bizarre.
I mean, I just feel like he has too much knowledge to be in this situation, and we don't even know how he ever got in this situation. We don't care because they just make him miraculously pop up in space. There's no explanation. There's no rhyme or reason to this. He just pops up. You know, it's like, okay, we'll forget about everything we saw in the last movies, and we'll just start. We'll start over. That's basically what we did. But except there was none of the original, you know, fun dialogue.
Yeah, you would think that. What I would guess is that they just said behind the scenes, no one really gives a shit.
Right.
And I guess they don't. They just want to watch a leprechaun killing people.
Yeah.
I, that's what these movies really are at the end of the day. And that's why so many people hate horror movies, or at least think that they hate horror as a genre.
This is like a horror comedy. I mean, this is not even... The only reason you can call it horror is because he is murdering people.
Yeah.
But the murders are so comical that... there's nothing terrifying about this. And in this particular one, like, I had so much, I struggled a lot because, at least in the third one in Vegas, I laughed because his dialogue was so good. And, like, some of the scenes where that lady blew up from her, you know, her plastic surgery or whatever she had done, and she blew up, and those scenes were good. But this one didn't have any moments like that.
It's funny you say that because during this movie, you said twice, I'm all for this.
Because
I'm
all
on board.
That was earlier on.
It was a couple times during it. I think it was the last half. I was going to ask you, when was the moment that you gave up?
Well, I gave up, because Miguel had some funny lines, and I was like, okay, I'm here for this. And then they just cut him a lot out of the movie. He was just in the background, you know? So then they focused on the two leads. But yeah, he does play a part.
He plays a part. He's with that guy with the Danny Boy thing and everything like that.
Yeah, but...
He's on this whole little thing, and he's important, so...
Well, yeah, but his lines got fewer and far between, so we're just like, eh. And I started to fall out of it, because I just wanted him to be on the screen the whole time and not that main guy. I started to get lost, and I was like, okay. And there's no one-liners that were funny. There was no funny scenes where, like... You know, Warwick was making us laugh. It just didn't feel the same as the last one.
No, don't bother to deny it. You really don't like me, do you?
The last movie had a different feel than this. And it should have been funnier, I think, because they were in space, and you can't get more ridiculous than that.
Well, I mean, we got all the things that you expect in the movie. We got the couple for some reason out of nowhere. You know, we have the two couple, and they keep forcing them into, you know, like, into each other's arms and stuff like that. And of course, that they have that whole joke about, I don't need us to be saved, and I don't like guns, though, and the whole banter. And then you got the other guys, like you said, he's killing off all the people, he's saving the queen, and now we've mutated the head scientist guy. And he does show up as a giant mutated spider, although they put scorpion DNA in him, too.
Yeah.
And I don't really know if I recognize any of that. No. He actually calls himself Manning Spider or something like that.
It was bad.
It's weird. And you could see that they tried to make prosthetic here, and they tried to do something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great, but it does look decent enough because the spaceship itself looks like shit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, and as it goes along, the leprechaun keeps changing the rules because he keeps saying, my queen. And then he goes, you know what, though? With a queen, you have to share your money and you have to share yourself. And I don't like any of that. I'll just kill her. And like, wait, what? And then he's like, and then he keeps saying the king is here, although they've never killed the king.
Right.
They've never become king and queen. And they keep referencing it like they are or already have.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing has happened.
Right.
And they also keep saying things about, like, oh, he actually says at one point, if I kill her, he's like, you know what, I'll wed her, I'll bed her, and then I'll kill her. And then I wonder if her father will pay for the wedding and the funeral. And I'm like, you just said his father didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And you were going to overthrow him and kill
him.
That
was the whole reason that he was trying to persuade her to marry him so he can give her riches.
Yeah, if you killed her before you became the king by killing her father, you would just be nothing.
Right.
Like, okay.
But here's
like,
the
what's
thing.
This
okay.
movie? What's this plot?
This like, is what odd. I'm, like, very baffled over. Okay, now he can literally do anything. He can turn himself into another person.
Yeah, at one point he turns himself into the doctor.
Yeah, and she's naked, and she's trying to get the pervy doctor guy to open the lab door, which works. And it turns out to be the leprechaun. So he can shapeshift, okay? So he has that. He can do that. Also,
he can
take over. He took over the Sarge, took over his mind, and mind-controlled him to attack the Marines. And so Sarge, he ended up getting killed because he ended up being, like, you know, mostly robotic, and they electrocuted him to try and save themselves. But he was literally taken over by Leprechaun. Now, how do you take over a robotic man, like, with your mind?
He keeps wishing.
I don't understand.
There's a couple times where they think they've killed him because they blow him up. Yeah. And he blows up, and he just comes back together. And there's a part where they blow something up in front of him, and it has some fire on him. He's, like, scared.
Yeah.
You could just wish it away.
It's so stupid, because I liked in the last one how there were some kind of consequences where, like, he needed that amulet, but he needed the shilling in order to exist. And he blew up and did not get put back together. He didn't. We didn't see it, anyway.
Well, he did get stabbed in the head and thrown out a window and splatted, and he came right back.
Right. But, I mean, he was, like, on fire, he was incinerated, and he comes back in this movie, and we just see him. He disappears. No explanation, nothing. It's like they just did not care.
Yeah.
And I don't like... The thing I didn't like about this movie is the fact that they do things where, like, okay, you can't beat him. You can't beat him because he cannot die.
Yeah.
So where are we going with this? What is going to be the end result here? How are you guys going to win? How are the good guys going to win against Leprechaun? They're not. That's what it makes you believe throughout the whole movie, because he's, like, super powerful and he can do anything.
Yeah, it's painting yourself into a corner.
Right. There's no consequences for him. He cannot die. You know, he just has nothing going against him. You know, he can just get resurrected. He's fine.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is stupid. Like, at least make it so he can be killed, or you have to, like, do a spell with the amulet or something to get rid of him. But they just don't even care. They don't. They just keep resurrecting him. It's ridiculous. And
what's the matter, lad? Don't like me singing?
And so after all of this horse shit, there's only three of them left, which is it's the main guy, which is Books, Tina, the scientist, and then Miguel Nunez. And they have to get the code, the password, into the computer to stop the self-destruct. There's some self-destruct mechanism on the ship.
Yeah.
Which,
the Leprechaun put it in there. He has a ship that he was going to escape with the princess. He knocked the princess out. He actually, you know, tortures the princess, too, at this point. Yeah. And still knocks her out and puts her in the, like, in the area with the force field. And his whole plan is they blow up the ship and they escape. But I don't know why he stays on board.
Okay, yeah. He could have just gotten the princess within the first 5 minutes of the film and dipped. But this whole movie is him just coming out of the penis and then fucking around the whole time. Like, he could have just went and got the princess and dipped.
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have movie.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But
as Shakespeare said, shit happens.
I just don't know at this point why he's sticking around. Like, it's odd. There's a part where he's saying he wants his gold again. And I was like, wait, what? It's like I guess because they were taking parts of the planet, but they only took, like, a little chip.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I don't know either. And what's crazy, like, he sets the self-destruct, and even the Spider-Manning guy, he seems to not know how to turn it off.
Right.
And although it's his password, I guess he doesn't have fingers anymore, so he can't really do it. He's got, like, claws.
True.
But he ropes up Nunez, who goes up to the thing to turn off the bomb. And while they're fighting the Leprechaun in the storage bay, and what's really hilarious is they have to split up during this fight, but the doctor shoots the Leprechaun with a ray and shrinks him. At least tries to shrink him, but accidentally grows him. So he grows into a giant kaiju Leprechaun version.
And this was so ridiculous. Like, I mean,
and then she leaves the other army guy to fight him off while she goes to try to stop the self-destruct, because Nunez, right, he got webbed up, so he can't go and do it. And he's trying to call them, like, someone help me.
Yeah.
So she goes up there, but of course, when she goes there, the spider goes after her and perfectly rips her pants right off.
Oh my god, it was really amazing!
Funny. And she's in, like, a one piece, running around the rest of the movie.
Yeah, but the best part is, like, I mean, you know, when that happened, it was like, okay, yeah, I knew they had to do that because they had to get this girl as naked as they could possibly get her.
And they got the army guy shirtless.
They got the army guy shirtless. So they put in some gratuitous things, but it just wasn't enough. Like, it wasn't enough schlocky things in this movie. Like, I wanted more schlock. It was just more stupid. It didn't really, it made no sense. And I know that we're talking about Leprechaun in space, okay? So, yeah, we don't need to point that out.
It's not even cartoony fun. It's not even stupid fun.
It's not even, like, even...
It's kind of just a joke.
Just, like, looking at the monster that Dr. Manning became, I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, they wasted so much money on these prosthetics and this whole thing. Like, yeah. Why? It was asinine and not needed. And... You know, again, with the Leprechaun, I wanted to say Leprechaun lore because, you know, we're already four movies in. I just feel like they just gave up. Like,
2,000 years later.
The spider.
They had to stop the spider. I was going to say, I just wanted to say because it's 97, they use liquid nitrogen, which is because of Terminator 2, everybody thinks that's a thing.
Yeah, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why is there a whole vat of liquid nitrogen
in a spaceship? Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know why it also shoots like a hose. I also didn't get to talk about how in every part of the ship there's steam. And Nunez walks through it constantly. Steam. I don't think that'd be good for your body.
Yeah, he was in the engine room, so that's steam.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the whole sequence because we kept like... going through, but we didn't talk about the whole scene where they have to go into waste disposal and waste disposal, which is a room of toxic waste that destroys is a flesh eating virus that destroys toxic, like leftover, you know, like shit and piss and stuff in the ship. And they go in there and have a leprechaun fight in there in hazmat suits.
Yes, which is amazing.
I was like, what is going on in this ship? What is the structure?
Those hazmat suits look like garbage bags. They were terrible. But the leprechaun comes in, slashes one of the Marines, and he automatically dissolves, his flesh dissolves. And
instantly.
Yes.
Yep. And I love that the leprechaun now has a walking stick with a razor blade in it.
Yeah.
That's a thing in this movie. Yeah, but they kill the spider by making him... completely frozen with liquid nitrogen, and of course they shoot him and explode him perfectly, and that's how they are able to beat him. And the leprechaun has a fight where he's a giant monster, and the other guy's got to fight him. And of course, because again they're ripping off so much, they shoot him at the damn airlock, and he gets sucked out into space. And they have the princess with them, and again, the princess is like. Now, first off, earlier in the film, she showed her boobs to them. And apparently her race of people, when they show their boobs to you, that means you're going to die.
This is your fate. You have no one to blame but yourselves. Unspeakable pain awaits you.
Yeah, well, hurt me first.
Look upon them and know that you are forever doomed. For I am she who is all-powerful. I am Zarina, queen of the damned. I leave you now to ponder the remainder of your pathetic existence.
That girl sure knows how to get your attention.
Don't get too excited, boys. On the planet Dominio, when a woman of royal blood shows you her breasts, it's a death sentence.
And what part of her anatomy is she going to kill me with?
Yeah, well, that was that gratuitous nudity scene that they needed.
So I guess she never has sex because whoever her partner would be would die.
Yeah.
Or would be killed. I don't really understand how that logic is. But she showed these guys that, and they save her. And the leprechaun gets shot into the space, and she disappears from the movie.
Yeah, she does.
She's not in the end scene because they rush up to the main bridge. And they put in the code, and they, of course, they're doing it at the last minute, and they're trying to think of all the words, and it's wizard. And by the way, they're using it looks like a CD-ROM. There's like oh my god,
the font was cartoony.
It was a DOS. They were using DOS or something. It was just so fucking funny, and I'm like, wow, they couldn't come up with anything to make this look futuristic. No. They couldn't think outside the box.
You know, my whole problem with this is the fact that they didn't, it doesn't matter that they didn't want to make it look futuristic or put any effort into it. It was really just, I think I was more upset about the dialogue.
What the hell are you doing here, lady? You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. This is for authorized personnel only.
I'm looking for Sergeant Hooker.
Well, you found him. I'm busy. What the fuck do you want?
I can't get upset about silly things like that.
Let me get this straight. It was the dialogue?
It was the dialogue.
It was all...
I needed a little bit more funny dialogue.
This episode or in the movie?
Yes, in general, I think I do need funny dialogue. But I'm not... I'm sorry, I'm babbling about it. This is stuff that I could not talk about during the movie, and, you know, I don't want to forget what I was thinking because I'm elderly and stuff, so I wanted to make sure that I got it out. So thank you for letting me ramble. Sorry.
Several bad puns later.
That's all I got. You can continue on, sir.
Well, I guess movie's over at this point.
No, it's not.
The movie's over. They say the ship, they're alive. The princess disappears. It doesn't make any sense. And the leprechaun's body parts are flying out in space, and they're huge. And his hand is still able to move and flicks them off. And they say, "You too, buddy." And they fly away. And I'm like, why wouldn't the hand just grab them?
I don't understand. I don't understand this logic.
But yeah, the movie ends on that. I would love to know. You would think that it would have been such an easy plot to have the Marines being called by this other planet to go save the queen, the princess, or something like that.
Yeah.
And instead of doing all the stuff that they do and the accidental finding of the planet and the gold, and you would think that they would try to make any of this connect in some kind of way to make an actual cohesive plot line.
Their plot had nothing to do. It had nothing to do with the princess at all. They just stumbled upon her.
And I don't. I'm right here, right? She disappears.
She's gone. Yeah, you're right.
She's not.
She
with
was
him.
Lying down on the floor because she got clunked over the head.
Yeah, they bring her out of the air dock, and she watches the leprechaun get shot into space, and then she says, basically, she says she's still gonna become the queen anyways.
Yeah, she does say that. She's like, oh, well, looks like the king is dead. Long live the queen or
yes,
something?
Yeah, it still hurts. They're not the king and queen. I don't know why she's saying that.
But
yeah.
Her doesn't make any alive. Sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And she does not show up again. That's it.
No.
I don't know.
But
I mean,
can you explain to me, please?
They did see the royal boobs. Would they be killed the moment they send her back to her planet? They also have regeneration properties. I kept thinking, what if they could save their friends?
That's true, but...
Like, can't they use the regeneration to save all their friends now?
Well, they're all... I don't think it works if you're already deceased.
You didn't even... Well, they made a finger grow back.
True.
I mean, if it wiggled, then I'd say...
Here's the thing. Yeah. They didn't make a finger grow back. They took some skin cells off of the guy's finger, and then it grew a whole finger. It's not like they chopped off the finger, and then it, you know, and they reattached it, because it grew back on... Or it actually grew a whole new finger.
Well, I mean, they did inject him with her blood and scorpion and tarantula, and he grew an entire mutant body.
That's
so
true.
So what if they did it to a corpse? Would it just come back to life? I don't know. I was thinking about this the whole damn thing. It's also her DNA.
Yeah.
Like that's... I don't know. It's so baffling.
But he doesn't have that DNA, the leprechaun, so how is he coming back repeatedly? I just don't understand.
He's magical, Joe. Like,
that's okay.
He's a magical leprechaun.
Then why did they put that whole amulet, shilling, all that crap in our head in the last movie?
It's in the first three. That was the lore.
Yeah. Okay, so now they just threw that out the window, and he's just whatever now. He can do anything.
I mean, I'm hoping that the next two will go back. But I have a feeling they're going to be as cheesy as this movie.
Well, next time we're going into the hood.
I know.
And
twice.
Is he going to be a gigantic size? Because a gigantic size when he blew up.
That was 2096. It's the future.
Oh, that's right.
I don't think he's going to be in the hood in 2096.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know what we're in for.
That's why I said I wondered if it would connect, and the coin that she threw in the third one's ending will be, like, land at one of the guy's feet.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I mean, that could happen. If they make a wish on it, maybe he'll return. Who knows? I don't know. I'm actually looking forward to that. I've always wanted to see the. I've never seen those movies, and I was always wondering if that meme connects to it. You know, that whole, I saw a leprechaun up in the tree. Everybody said, yeah, you know, that whole thing, that whole news report.
I thought that guy was really, like, being serious. But didn't they decide he was on drugs or something and thought he saw a leprechaun in the tree?
No, in that video, someone says that we think it's a crackhead that climbs up in the tree.
Oh, crackhead, okay.
I always wondered if this was some kind of marketing scheme for the fifth leprechaun film.
I don't know. It doesn't really connect at all.
They saw a leprechaun up in the tree and then they're in the hood?
It's just coincidental.
You think so? I always thought it was some kind of marketing
for it. No, I think it's just coincidental.
Well, if we watch that movie and there's a clip in there from it, I'm going to laugh my ass off.
That will never happen. That's not going to happen. No way. When did the...
The two news reporters in that clip, they're laughing so hard.
I would be too.
Especially when the guy's like, I have an ancient leprechaun flute handed down through the generations.
Oh my God.
My Irish ancestors, and it's just like a piece of pipe. Like PVC pipe cut with holes in it.
It's amazing.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that one came out in 2000. So
I know.
Oh boy.
Well, I mean, look, the Leprechaun 4, it's a disgrace. Now, would you say it's the worst movie ever made? No.
No.
No, it's up there though.
Oh my God, Ice-T isn't Leprechaun in the Hood. Oh, it's gonna be amazing. Okay, wait. Don't get my hopes up, because I thought this was going to be amazing. This one, no. Okay, carry on.
What would you give it, though?
Okay, so I gave Vegas, that was a 3.
You gave it a 5.
Is it? Oh, I gave it a 5, okay. Okay, well, I would say this one is much, much worse than that one. I will give this I think I'm going to go 3 on this one.
Oh, wow.
I didn't like it.
I think I'm giving this one a 2.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a good film. It's not even funny. Even the way I remembered things are not right. I remember when he gets, he is enlarged, he looks down his pants and he has like a line. I thought he said bigger is better. Even the line sucks, what he really does say. I'm like, it's not even funny. It's just kind of like really dumb. And so everything about it is kind of just cheesy. I could see never watching this again unless I was completely drunk with friends and I had a pizza or something like that. But that'll never happen either. Mm-hmm. So I'm never going to watch it again. I particularly did not like this movie. So I'm wondering where will we put this on our list? And I would say it's going in the top 10.
Yeah, I think I was being generous on my score because I like Miguel Nunez. But I really should take it back because... This movie was really a piece of crap. I'm going to go 2 also. But yeah, I would put it... I actually thought Bordello of Blood... Not Bordello of Blood. Bucket of Blood. Was actually better than this one.
Oh yeah, that's number 12 on our list.
Yeah.
I was thinking higher up. I mean, is this Barbarella Toxic Avenger 4 level?
Oh my God.
Is The Son of the Mask better?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And do you like Toxic Avenger 4 better?
Yes.
Not Barbarella, though.
No, fuck that movie.
All right, number 5, The Leprechaun. Leprechaun in Space. So, we're 2 steps away from kicking the Christmas tree off the top 10. My goal in life. We're both saying this is a bad one. Now, what about your segment of Why We Can't Have Nice Things?
Okay. Why We Can't Have Nice Things is a segment I like to do to show you 2 extremes of the online review system. Basically, just show you why we can't have nice things because of people that go on and review things too high or too low, which are, you know, it's like our pet peeve. We can't stand it. Well, we're going to start out with the 10-star review. Pretty much all the 10-star reviews are the same. Like, they say the same thing, basically. But this one is the best comedy ever. When I rate movies, I rate them with the way I expect them to be and how they actually turn out to be. And this movie was all I expected, but it actually does have better acting than I expected. Horrible and pointless storyline with horrible sets and computer-generated special effects stolen from an Atari game. There is no way that the people responsible in making this movie were serious in making it into a horror movie, unless they were as dumb as the storyline. But I'd rather suggest renting this one out for a cheap movie night with friends to laugh and to laugh at this masterpiece. Come on. It even has this mad scientist that is always seen on a cheap TV screen in a close-up angle of his face and a funny German accent. So have a good time and just expect the worst. Okay, so why are you giving it a 10?
A 10, though, yeah.
Okay. So my one-star review is, can you say worst movie ever made? I am a big fan of cheesy horror movies, but this movie stole an hour and a half from me and I want it back. In the worst movie of the series, they decided to send the leprechaun into space. What were they thinking? I guess they were hoping people like me would watch it. Well, if that's the case, they got me there. But I suggest to fellow horror fans not to waste your time on this sad attempt at a movie. There were no great death scenes. Warwick Davis was not funny. I give this movie a 0 out of 4 and pray that nobody makes the same mistake I did. Okay.
It's like both people make good arguments, but both have these terrible reviews. I'm so close to that guy who's giving it a 1,
mm-hmm.
or a 0, as he said. I think he's the one guy is right about the German head. It's fun. That guy's actually fun. He's going for it. He's funnier than Davis is in this film.
Mm-hmm.
There are little bits, like you said, Nunez is funny. There are some ideas with like the guy's head squashing, which the guy also brought up. Those are highlights. But I also agree with the other guy going, this just did not turn out right. Like, they could have made something special here. They could have made something really fun and corny, mm-hmm. but they missed the mark heavily. So I kind of agree with both people. I can see both people's argument. I couldn't go either review. Like, I couldn't go to the scores that they're going to, because I think there are some funny things worthy of talking about. And so it goes up from 1. But there is nothing to push it toward the middle.
No.
It's just not good.
This one was really, it was dull.
It's dull.
It was dull. Like, obviously, with my ranting and rambling, you can tell how I'm struggling on this one. I'm struggling big time. Because I don't have anything to make fun of, really. Just that it was just bad. Like, there was nothing to even laugh at. Like, even if Warwick Davis had some good one-liners, at least I could talk about how good the one-liners were. But there's nothing. There's really nothing. I mean, the only thing we could joke about was how the Sarge had, you know, his ridiculous makeup and his prosthetic and whatever. But that's it. I mean, that's all you have to make fun of. Like, you know, I'm struggling. So, yeah, apologize about my ramblings, but these are all, like, my little stupid thoughts while watching the movie. But I just really wanted it to be over, I think, the movie. I thought it was just so boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree at all. All right, hopefully next week is a lot. It's like a pick-me-up from the series.
It has to be.
I hope. I think we'll at least laugh. But I feel like it's also going to be the parody without any, like, you know, like, I think that 3 has all the characters are kind of likable, all that are getting tortured by the leprechaun, and that makes it more fun when you actually care about everybody. And I'm hoping, and I don't think it's going to be, but I think next week might be another problem, just like this movie, where all the characters are just, who cares? And so we have no one to actually give a shit about and follow.
Yeah.
And that's a big issue. Like, a lot of horror people don't know how important your characters are. You want to, like, you know, hope that they survive, or, you know, feel bad when they get kicked off, or, you know, or cheer, you know, because they are pieces of shit. You kind of want all that. And when the characters are just boring, you don't have any of that. You can't connect to the deaths or anything.
There's nothing.
So that could be a huge issue going forward. So yeah. I don't know. I'm actually looking forward to it regardless. I love watching movies regardless. So.
Well, I mean, we have Ice-T going for us. I mean, he's probably just going to end up being Ice-T.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But at least he'll probably, you know, he'll be the one that's swearing a lot or kicking ass or whatever. We'll see. Either one. I'm there for it, for Ice-T. But otherwise, I'm starting to get lost on this. Okay. This is my pick.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Hit us at social media, though, at Just Another Movie Night and The Crafty Misfit. We would love to hear your opinions. And have a good one.
The king is dead. Long live the queen.
Bullshit! Bullshit!